Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network,
home of comedy,
culture, adventures,
and ghosts. Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Shut Up A Second. My name's Hayden, I'm joined by Cass as per usual.
As per usual!
Yes, and we are joined by writer, comedian, author, podcaster, dad.
Yes.
Man who wears glasses, Andy Matthews.
As per unusual, freak event, here I am.
It's your first time.
What are the chances?
And today's topic is dolphins.
Do you reckon that's a dolphin noise?
That was the blowhole. When they surface for air.
I didn't realize that was an intentional noise you were making.
How does that differ from my other unintentional noises? Surely it does, but now I'm concerned.
The many ways in which your body vents gas.
Well, no, I thought, you did that noise on purpose.
Yeah.
I thought you did it by accident, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's, oh no. What other noises am I making on accident that you're like, yeah, that's per use.
It sounded like a weird cough. It was per use to me. You're full of weird noises and creaks and moans and stuff. You're always, oh, God, oh, no,
Oh my God, that. Two casses?
Creaks and moans.
It's like listening to a mirror.
That's funny. Okay, so dolphins, they are weird. Like, I don't know. To me, they're almost in an uncanny valley where they're sort of the
That's what I call the ocean. It's the uncanniest of all the valleys.
They're sort of the furthest away you can get from a human, but in the same time, they are quite human.
Their brains are too human.
Yeah. Like, they're the exact opposite, but, you know, they're the same side, opposite side of the same coin.
Yeah. It's horseshoe politics. We almost meet again. We have so much in common despite our differences.
Yeah. We both hate cops.
We agree. Exactly. I mean, they really are. Like, you know, they beach themselves on the land. We drown ourselves in the ocean.
Constantly. Yeah. Do you think there's like a famous dolphin rider named Dolphin Platt?
Let's be very careful.
Okay.
Did you say dolphin writer?
Writer.
Or dolphin rider?
I said
tease.
Writer.
Because tease.
Tease.
Mm. Yeah, Sylvia Plath killed herself by walking into the ocean with rocks, right?
No, head in the oven.
Oh.
She was head in the oven?
Yeah.
Head in the oven.
Who was the writer that walked into the ocean with rocks?
I think that's more sort of a mythical.
No, I think someone did do it.
No.
You said like, no.
That's, yeah, I don't think so.
Walking into the ocean with rocks is a male trait.
Your question is
Virginia Woolf.
Virginia Woolf. How embarrassing.
Now, your
for me.
Question is going to be, is there a dolphin writer who's tied themselves to helium balloons and ascended into the upper atmosphere? Is there a Virginia, let's see, whale.
Yeah. Oh, no. Very clever.
Doesn't work. Doesn't work.
That works perfectly because whales evolved into wolves and wolves into whales.
Yeah, indeed.
That's why, did you not? Oh,
both ways.
Yeah. They did go both ways, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, whales went back. You know the whales went back,
oh,
right?
Oh, I know whales went back, and that's the whole reason I love this topic. I'm really fascinated in the going back bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why go back?
Why go back?
But
that says to me they're more clever than us. Mm. They knew something. They were like, back. No.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's not a lot going on in there, but there's sort of maybe a quiet simplicity.
No, there's so much going on in there. We have explored like 2 seconds of it. No, yeah. We don't know what's in the ocean, yeah. Which is exactly the way the dolphins feel about land. They're like, yes. Wow, they've literally only explored the surface.
Yeah, it's all beach up there.
Yeah, we know about genetic memory, but maybe there's a sort of genetic nostalgia as well.
Okay.
Where like the once they were on the land, they were like, you know, everything used to be better in the ocean. And then they have, you know, obviously you'd have that kind of political conservatism where there's this really persuasive narrative of like, if we could just get back to the way things were in the ocean, yeah. Right? And then despite the fact that the ocean actually wasn't all that great, everyone's, you know, trying to get back there, trying to recreate this sort of Reaganistic fantasy of what life was like in the open seas, and then the wolves, before you know it, the wolves are back in there. Most of them are drowning, but they're still like, see, you know, nobody's going to tell me what to do.
That is fun trying to figure out sort of, there must have been one moment, right? Like there had to have been a moment.
Yes.
Where a wolf went.
There had to have been at least one moment.
There had to have been one moment. Listen to me.
What are the chances there hasn't been even one moment? Sorry.
That the wolf decided, I'm now a fully water guy.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Yeah.
I'm a wet
that
guy.
That one decision. Yeah, yeah, well, I guess maybe not decision. I guess he was probably born with, you know, no legs or whatever.
Yeah.
Just a slippery guy.
It would have been. It would have been like so many things. Like you're like, we return to the land to have our babies, right? Like so many creatures that
like
lived here. Should we go
whatever.
Back to the land to do that? But then, like, it would have been a woman, right? Mm. That first guy would have been a woman. I think a woman who was like, no, I'm
guys.
I'm
some guys are women. Yeah.
I'm gonna stay, in here, and I'm gonna have the baby.
In the water.
I'm not going to drag myself. You know, like you know what it's like when you're pregnant, and it's hard to.
Oh yeah. We've all been there.
Yes,
it's so hard to get.
I don't
pull yourself up onto the beach. Yeah. Forget about it.
It's so undignified.
But you. It seems so nice. Anytime I've seen videos of pregnant women who get in the water and they're just floating and they're just like, oh, that's so much nicer. Or like that fun little. It's not really a prank. Where your partner comes up behind you if you're pregnant and they just like lift your tummy up for a little bit and you just see the pregnant people just like almost go like jelly because they have to hold that all the time and then
I've never really obviously I've thought about it but not so specifically that that would be really heavy.
Yes, it is. It's a lot of weight.
Also, like,
specifically, the weight is right there. It's really in a not great spot.
Yeah.
They should have
the baby should be on the back.
Well, they should be on the back on the shoulders or something. Yeah. That'd make more sense.
Yeah, upper back.
As a woman, what would be great, you could market this as part of like for maternity wear.
Mm-hmm. Right?
You should market a top that the back is really sticky. Covered in glue or something like a rat trap. And then when a guy comes along and does that kind of thing, lifts up your belly, you got him.
Yeah, you've got to send him all the TikToks first. And then a week later, just be wearing that shirt. You're in. Locked in. If you could steal one element of a dolphin's sort of life or body, what would it be? What has a dolphin got going on that you're most jealous of?
Do you know what? Every time the more I think about dolphins, the more I'm like, I have been too long applying a fish format to them. And when I imagine any fish, they're very like slinky, slippery. Like, you know, when they do that little wiggle thing to swim, their bodies are a bit ribbon-like. And I've always thought that about dolphins, but I just know like that would be like punching a pig.
Like, did I zone out or something? Where did you get to punching a pig from fish or ribbon-like?
You think they keep it taut?
I reckon they keep it taut.
Yeah.
Keep it taut. Oh, I see. You're saying that they're dense.
I reckon they're so dense. You know, like in movies when people are practicing boxing on big slabs of meat hanging from the ceiling?
Oh, yeah.
I reckon that's exactly what a dolphin would feel. Like, they look like they're
Well, it makes sense. They're made of meat, so.
Yeah, but they're like, fish are made of meat. And I could punch a fish and it would swing like a saloon door. But a dolphin, I reckon I'd hurt my hand on it.
Yeah. Well, the blubber, though. Maybe the blubber would sort of act as some cushioning. How hard is blubber, Andy?
Great question.
You're a man of science.
I imagine it's quite cushy. Yeah. But the skin is very thick, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. The underlying, like, it would be like punching a plank of wood that's floating on the water. The water's very squishy, but if that outer skin is stiff, you're distributing that that pressure over quite a large area of blubber. So I think that probably it would, you know, it would still put up a fair bit of resistance.
You know, I always thought, and this is silly, that the blubber would be on the outside or close to the skin or something.
Yeah.
But I guess it makes sense that they've got thick skin to keep warm. Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, the blubber helps, but yeah, it's all in there somewhere.
Mm. I watched a documentary once about like the existence of mermaids.
Yes. Okay.
A documentary, you say?
It was a documentary.
A documentary, okay.
And they basically sort of interviewed people who had seen mermaids and they were like, you know, describing that they're big fishy tail or whatever.
Yes.
And they were like trying to look for mermaids, didn't find any mermaids. And then at the end they did a...
talk about how hard it is to make documentaries, but really it's probably like
they had to look for mermaids. That's an impossible task.
You just need a camera and an inquisitive mind.
Yes.
But they, at the end, they were like, can mermaids even exist? And they had some sort of 2005 CGI computer graphics, and they had a picture of a graphic of a mermaid, and they're like, well, she wouldn't have any hair. That doesn't make any sense for the ocean. So they made her bald. And then they were like, well, they wouldn't They wouldn't have
a flat mouth like we have.
Got a bit of a snout.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, and they wouldn't be this skinny. They'd have lots and lots of blubber. And they basically just turned it into a manatee. And they're like, they wouldn't have hands. They would have fins. And then so they sort of made this disgusting, really freaky looking manatee woman.
If we broaden the definition of mermaid to include manatees, then
they actually do exist. Man. It was sort of their contention. Or I guess that there's like, oh no, people are just crazy and they've just seen manatees because that's all that can exist.
Yeah, well imagine like
if we've gotten as close as we can get.
You've been in the ocean for so long, the light's reflecting off a manatee's skin and you're like, boob? you see a flash of blubber and you're like, is that a boob?
No, you'd be like, whoa, is that a half clamshell bra?
Did they think? I thought original mermaids were topless.
No, how undignified that would be.
It feels like, you know, maybe you're on the boat with your shipmates and you're ribbing them and you're saying, that's your wife over there. You know, you see the manatee and see, that's your wife. You love that. And then that somehow mutates over time into like, no, there are women in the ocean.
Well, I guess, once you're in the doldrums or something and you're going fully crazy and you're like, God, I miss my wife. Oh, I wish my wife was here. You know, my horrible dolphin wife. Would you like to hear about some dolphin facts, Andy?
Yeah.
What about Andy's dolphin trait?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Did we get to any of the dolphins? I don't think we got to any of them.
The ability
to
conduct a backflip, to perform a backflip.
Can they do backflips?
Well, they do all sorts of flips.
I know they do front flips.
But they're crescent moon shaped.
Okay, well, front flips, backflips. I mean,
I can more see a front flip because it's already going in that direction.
I reckon they could, you know, you're right, obviously. They've got that curvature, natural curvature. But I reckon they could probably do a backflip as well. You look at how confident they are doing a forward flip.
And the backflip is all about confidence.
I would absolutely settle for a forward flip. I mean, any kind of flip, I think, is fantastic.
How long?
I think, this is my theory about dolphins and backflips, I think that the backflip probably evolved as a result of not having eyebrows. Because,
Are you working?
I'm actually right there with you. I think it makes perfect sense.
They really don't have any facial features whatsoever, right? No. And so, like, in order to communicate emotion.
Oh, I'm there, yeah.
Yeah. In order to communicate, like, their skin's very fixed, right? In order to communicate emotion, they need to talk with their bodies. You know, in a very sort of expressive, you know, like Italians, right? And
dolphins are like Italians,
exactly.
Right.
The Italians of the sea, and so you know, if they want to communicate excitement, we can just raise our eyebrows, but they have to like you know,
or do a bit
flip
of this.
Their entire body, yeah.
Whereas they don't have, I guess they do have language.
They got clicks and whistles, but I mean, you know, body language is very important, and I reckon that's their version of body language.
Yeah, just doing a flip.
Yeah.
How long do you think if you're who you are now?
Yes.
This hypothetical is actually in the reality of now.
Yes.
How long do you think it would take for you to be able to learn how to do a flip from flat ground to flat ground?
This is a great question.
Back or front,
and
your choice.
Alistair, my colleague Alistair.
Yes,
my
ATB.
My work husband Alistair and I. We have two ideas. We want to make a podcast called Dabs, right?
And called what?
Dabs.
Yes.
And it's Dads with Abs.
Oh, I've heard this idea.
We try and get abs. We give ourselves a year to get abs, right? But then the second season is we try to learn how to do a backflip. And I reckon
dips.
I reckon 12 months, if we're working out, I reckon we could. If once we've got the abs, see, first you get the abs.
Yeah, then you get the
flip. Then you learn to do a backflip. And I think once you're at that, you know, base camp, within 12 months you would be able to be at backflip time. But I think there's probably also a cutoff. I think there's probably, you know, once you're hit 60 or something like that, backflips are probably out for you.
Yeah, no, once your hips degrade a certain amount, you're probably done.
Well, you've got to start early so they don't degrade.
Indeed.
Yeah, if you can flip, your hips will never degrade. The thing that is perfect for hips and knees is doing flips all the time.
I don't think a flip's anything to do with the hip.
What do you mean? It's something to do with everything. Surely. I've never done a flip.
I've watched a lot of videos on how to do a backflip.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'm always
you could be an expert on our podcast.
Maybe I could. I can be one of those technically. I'd be like someone in the research field.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, you've never done this? Like, oh, no, heavens no.
But I study the theory.
I watched a TikTok of a guy who's never done a flip before. And to be fair, he was a pretty fit, youngish dude. And he watched a video within the video of how to do a flip. And it's really about leg momentum. And he basically just kicked his leg. It was about leg momentum and commitment. So he just kicked his leg as hard as he can and just sort of followed his whole body through. And on his first attempt, he didn't land it, but he landed on his butt. That's really interesting. And by his third or fourth, he was doing flips.
But that commitment thing, I think that would be the biggest barrier for me.
Oh, big
because
time. Yeah.
I'm just terrified of that bit where you're halfway upside down and your head is pointing downwards.
Yeah, your gravity is really working against you. Yeah.
And I'd panic. And try and stand up. And, you know, you can't do that in the middle of a backflip.
Mm. I know before I just said I'd never done a flip, but I just realized I have done a flip. And maybe why I don't remember is because I cracked my head really hard.
Well, you didn't do a flip then.
I guess you're right. No, I didn't do a flip.
Well,
but I was
front
on a train.
Back.
Oh, look, hang on though. No, if we say we flip a pancake, we didn't flip it all the
that's
way 360 degrees. That's just 180. So maybe you did do a flip.
Well, in a way, if you're lying in bed and you flip to your front,
That's a flip in the other dimension. I found a loophole.
I sort of did a front flip, but somehow moved backwards. And so I was doing a flip from the edge of the trampoline. It's the old square ones that had just exposed springs and metal.
Metal bars.
My feet were on the edge of the short end of the rectangle. I was trying to move forward, doing a front flip. Somehow I bounced, did a front flip motion, but moved my whole body weight backwards.
Yeah, there would have been some weird center of gravity
behind me
happening
somehow. Yeah, I'm not really sure how I did it, but
you would have kicked your legs back.
Yeah, I guess so.
Instead of pushing forward, you would have pulled your legs backwards.
Yeah, I guess that's what I did. Yeah,
you should have spoken to us.
I should have. Unfortunately, it was 15 or so years ago.
This is my favorite thing about the idea of dolphins is that they were successful. That it's such a crazy idea to go back into the ocean, but that that it worked out, like they were right.
Committing, that's the whole point.
It is, it's the backflip. You can't get halfway into the ocean and change your mind. You've got to go all the way in.
But and then change your mind.
You've got, it's the idea that, there are fish that have been in the ocean for, consistently, right?
Yeah.
Millions and millions
probably
of years.
Most of
all
them,
in
maybe?
The ocean, fully in the ocean the whole time. And then this, land animal comes into the ocean and is somehow
better
at it than you. And that's really humiliating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Coming back and be like, oh, this guy's still breathing air. That's crazy. And be like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Backflips?
Yeah. He just ate me.
You'd be like, oh, look at these cowards. Went to the land. Now they're coming crawling back.
Look who couldn't hack it on the land.
Look at them. They're hanging out on the beach in the shallows. They're barely fish. And then all of a sudden, oh, God, they're doing clicks and whistles and have a human brain. Oh, no. Yeah.
But I can't understand how it's possible for you to come in with such a disadvantage that you can't breathe underwater and still be better at
just
water.
Be the top tier fish
or
a water creature.
Yeah.
Do you reckon that'll be us in space?
Sorry?
Do you reckon that'll be us in space?
Yes.
Oh, I hope so.
We can't breathe there.
Doesn't seem likely.
A lot of aliens being like, that's embarrassing, couldn't hack it on Earth, coming into our atmosphere, and then in millions of years being like, man, they can do quantum flips.
I don't know if we've got millions of years in us, but, you know, that's fine.
A girl can dream.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I would take their rubbery, silky skin.
No, it looks spiky.
Hang on. Spiky flat?
Yeah, spiky flat. Is it not scales?
I don't think so.
Isn't it
rough? Super smooth. I think you're thinking of sharks.
I'm thinking of sharks.
I think they are like an inner tube.
Mm. But greasy or something.
I don't know if they're even greasy.
They
I
must be a little bit oily.
Maybe waxy.
They might be waxy, yeah. Maybe waxy. Yeah,
but I think that's the same trick where people think snakes are slimy.
Yeah. Huh.
They're in water. That is the lubrication.
You don't need to be slimy. True.
Either way, I want the skin and I'll find out for myself.
I will say, whales, really smelly.
I
have been sailing out in the ocean and...
You've been sailing
been
out in
sailing
the ocean?
Sailing out in the ocean, oh one of the best.
What are you, a millionaire? What do you mean you're sailing in the ocean?
I've been sailing in the ocean and I saw a whale come up and then just got like a massive waft of like, oh, wow.
Whale stink.
What you a magical really moment smell being like ruined. The ocean. You could really smell the aquatic lifestyle.
Yeah, right.
Isn't there breath?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Maybe it is.
But they've got little brooms.
Yeah, but I think
brooms are stinky.
You're probably right. It was probably them exhaling.
What kind of whale was it?
You know, their mouth is full of fish all the time. It's probably one of the fishiest places in the ocean.
Yeah. Oh, concentration wise, the fishiest place in the ocean.
Fish density, and then when they breathe out, I imagine there's all the fish waft.
Yeah. Oh, I guess it comes right out of the blowhole. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoots right on your nose. What kind of whale did you see?
I do not know.
Yeah,
maybe a southern right whale.
Mm.
I feel like they're the kind that.
Not sure I've even heard of that kind of whale.
You know, they commute up and down the coast. It was on the eastern coast of Australia, so.
Was it that white whale, Migaloo?
It was. I don't think it was Migaloo.
That's the one whale I know by name.
Yeah,
Migaloo. Yeah,
famous whale.
Mm.
What do you think the whale's real name is?
Ooh.
Imagine if you were right. Let's never know. Thinking
noise.
Yeah.
Brent. Now, Alan is the answer.
Okay, now would you guys like to hear some whale dolphin facts?
Yes.
I Googled dolphin facts.
Mm. I hope they're not ones about their sex life because I find all that very distressing.
I got some horrible news about my history segment.
Oh, no.
Mine are not very sexual. Cass's history thing is, quite concerning. So I Googled dolphin facts, and I found an infographic, and it said, dolphins have hair. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. There was no source. It just sort of said dolphins have hair. Yeah. So I Googled dolphin hair.
Yes.
And the first thing that came up was, dolphins do not have hair. How curious.
How has the internet been so divisive? I'm still trying to get my head around how the information superhighway has somehow created all this division in society.
So then I Googled, do dolphins have hair? And I found the answer. The answer is sometimes.
Okay.
They've got
the truth is always more complex than you think.
Called, it's like tunga or something. Or some whatever baby's hair is.
Oh.
You know when babies sometimes are born with heaps of like pigmentless, downy, soft
fur? Oh, yes.
Whatever that's called, they've got that sometimes around their snout when they're born. So sometimes dolphins are born with little wispy beards.
Little downy baby dolphins.
They're cute. Little baby
Benjamin
beards.
Buttoning it. Just come out as an elderly dolphin.
That does sort of, I wonder if they'll maybe eventually evolve into having full-on facial hair then.
I'm guessing that sounds more like a last vestige of being a mammal.
No, I reckon it's the start of something new.
Do you reckon they're coming back?
I reckon first hairy fish.
Can I ask you guys? Firstly, okay, this is a question about jokes.
Yes.
Okay,
My kids have a,
you've come
a
to the wrong spot.
Joke book called Animal Jokes, 100 Animal Jokes or something like that, 300 Animal Jokes. Mm-hmm. One of the jokes is, and they're all lame, right? They're all little puns and that sort of thing, and that's fine. Kids love that kind of stuff.
Mm. Yes. It's also very easy to write.
Yes, incredibly easy to write, which is why this one I have issues with, right? Yeah. What do you call a billy goat's beard?
What do you call a billy goat's beard? Is it billy goat's scruff or something?
No. No, that would be
billy
better.
Goat scruff.
No, they say a goatee, right?
Huh.
No, that doesn't work.
But that doesn't work, right?
That's where it comes from.
That's where it comes from.
That doesn't make any sense. That's stupid.
Yeah.
So that isn't a joke.
I don't think it is.
That's just being like, hey, what do you call a billy goat's beard? Oh, it's a goatee. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's like saying, hey, what do you call a dumb eagle? A bird brain. Like, that doesn't work. That's why they call it bird brain.
I think
dumb.
That's better. I'd say that's better. Yeah, right? It feels like there's more work has been done. Yeah. I almost laughed at that one. In fact, you know what? That's my favorite joke ever.
Wow.
But I think that just proves my point.
Yeah, exactly. Billy goats, they do have goatees. That's why they're called that.
Yeah, a goatee is called a goatee because it looks like a billy goat's beard.
Mm. What's your best goat joke you could come up with right now?
Oh, my
if it's
God.
In the style of a kid's joke. I think.
Thank you.
I'll come up with one. I'm sure it's easy.
I wouldn't have asked the question if I didn't know the answer.
I think we can come up with a good one. And we can just edit out the silence, too.
Yeah,
so,
okay, great.
We can edit out the thing, and we'll sound really clever because it'll come up.
This is what I was thinking about the other day, is that the billy goat's gruff thing where, like, the billy goats are like going, little one goes across and he says, eat my brother. He's much bigger and juicier than I am, right? Mm. And we assume that is the goats outsmarting the troll, right?
Yeah.
By, like, oh, we're going to get him to try and eat the biggest, strongest brother. But it could just be that all those brothers are awful, right? They're just like, they suck. They're just like, oh, please, just eat my brother. I mean, that's not commendable.
It's also not a great lesson to teach children who are trying to learn delayed gratification. So the goats are like, hey, eat my brother, he's bigger. And the troll's like, oh, well, as a smart adult with not a baby's brain, I will obviously do that. And then it gets to the end and the kid learns the lesson of, no, you take what you get. What you get now. If something better is promised in the future, don't listen.
Yeah, it's the opposite of the marshmallow test. Why are we, you know?
I think I came up with a goat joke, but I think it's the same problem as the goatee.
Okay.
It's a work in progress, but where do you drop baby goats off to swim?
The
kiddie pool. But I think it's the same thing because kids are baby goats, but also kids are.
Maybe we get the word we get kid it from there. For kids from kids.
I thought we did.
Baby goats.
I think that's adorable.
Mm.
Yeah. Because it. Imagine back in the old days coming up with a phrase to be like, oh, like, yeah, bringing the goats in. Like using the word kid to be baby goat.
Yeah.
Like it's when people call their kids like little chickadees, like little chicks.
Mm.
Yeah, or the goslings and stuff.
The goslings and stuff. Do people call their kids goslings?
You know when people call their kids.
Come on, goslings, let's go. Yeah. Get into the car, goslings.
I don't know. Maybe.
I think goslings is one. Andy, you're a dad. Do you ever call your kids goslings?
No, but I will.
Yeah. Start it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I tried to come up with a goat joke.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
Go.
Yeah.
What? No bad ideas, right?
No bad ideas. It's the same space. It's the joke studio.
What do you call a billy goat who has lost the ability to speak?
I don't know. What do you call a billy goat that's lost the ability to speak?
I don't know. I don't know.
Nearly throat stuff.
Nearly?
Nearly. Like, no.
Nearly throat stuff.
Yeah, what?
Yeah,
his
right.
Stuff's
interesting.
Gone from
nearly
his
throat stuff.
Throaty cup.
What the hell are you talking about? What?
I do nearly throat stuff.
Yeah, nearly throat stuff. He's got nothing.
Yeah, but why is that? Why is that a joke?
Billy Goat Gruff.
It rhymes with Billy Goat Gruff.
Billy Goat Gruff has nearly throat stuff.
Nearly throat stuff. Jesus Christ.
I've really got nothing. I've been mentally trying to work on something about like kid gloves, you know? Treating them with kid gloves. You know, and then I was like imagining you've got baby goats, you get a baby goat sitter, kid baby goat sitter around to look after the goats, the baby goats, and you say something to the baby goat sitter about treat them with kid gloves, and then you come back and all the babies have been murdered. But you're wearing wearing beautiful gloves.
Yeah.
I don't know. So yeah, I mean that's not a joke. In no way is that a joke.
It's a long walk and it's a
terrible destination.
I think do you know what?
The view from the top is horrific.
I think that's great, but I don't think it fits the criteria of a joke for children.
No. Yeah.
I'd watch it though. I'd watch it play out.
Yeah.
I don't think I would.
Okay.
I think I'd turn away. Cass, you want to do some goat? I mean, not goat history. We can do some goat history if you want, but do some dolphin history.
I'll do some dolphin history. I wanted to take you all back to, and a lot of people know parts of this story.
Mm-hmm.
We're going back to the 60s.
Yes.
Back in the days
when goats were invented.
Back in the days where NASA was like, do you know what? I reckon we could teach dolphins how to speak.
How to speak. Yep.
And so they started funding some stuff. And we are following one Miss Margaret Howe. Yeah, you know the story maybe?
No. I'm genuinely so excited though.
So she was tasked with...
Wait, is she the woman who lived with the dolphin?
Yeah. She lived with Peter, an adolescent male. He was receiving intensive training, and she was training him how to say her name, which is Margaret. M, apparently very hard sound for a dolphin, but apparently he was getting there by turning on his side, and he could, like, reshape his blowhole, and she was like, yeah, his blowhole was doing...
Whatever, he's talking through the blowhole? Yeah, is that where the sound comes out?
Yeah, they were trying to train dolphins how to speak through the blowhole. That's what this whole thing was. NASA was like, let's get it done.
Yeah. God damn, I thought a beak would be hard enough or the bottle nose, but...
No, blowhole is... So, like, he would move on his side and, like, manipulate his blowhole. And
this is a question. When they do the clicks and the whistles, is that sound coming out of their mouth or is it coming out of the blowhole?
I thought it was coming out of their mouth, but the blowhole...
I mean, can they even breathe through their mouth? We don't know.
No, I guess they can't.
Maybe
it's probably
not.
A whole different system.
Maybe it's not even connected to the...
Well, that would make sense because if you could breathe through your mouth and you were underwater all the time, that just seems like an easy recipe for drowning, right?
Totally.
No, but you're holding your... But we don't breathe through our mouths unless it's a problem.
And we can also go underwater.
Yeah, but we can do it.
Yeah, but wait, no, but we couldn't eat underwater, though. Could we?
This is another great question.
Could we eat under... If I was fully submerged, I don't think I could eat a fish.
Alistair and I are working on the invention that we call the sporkle. Which is a snorkel that goes over your entire face with a large sort of balloon-like section around the mouth.
Yeah.
And then two of those gloves that they use for working on nuclear reactors that go into that space so that you can manipulate your hands inside the eating area and you know, eat a full bowl of spaghetti while you're underwater.
That is
fun. An experience. It would be great to be in, like, warm water while you eat spaghetti, like completely submerged.
And then you can piss.
We can piss.
Finally, pissing while he's eating spaghetti.
I mean, if you want that experience now, let's talk afterwards. I've got some suggestions.
All right, so Margaret started sleeping next to Peter. So she'd just sleep on a little foam pillow next to him.
So this is the idea. They filled up the house with like 2 feet of water or something like that. She was just getting about her day and he was there.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the logistics of sleeping next to a dolphin. I thought dolphins didn't sleep. That was a fact I came across in my research.
So
interesting.
There was like a sea pool under the house.
A what?
A sea pool. There's like a pool.
A sea pool. Okay, sure. Yeah.
So like it was in a big house. It's so strange to describe this now because it just sounds like a complete joke.
Yeah.
Be like, we're going to teach dolphins how to speak. We'll do it in a house.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a great setup for a sitcom, though.
Mm. It's like The Odd Couple.
Yeah.
They're a very odd couple. Mm. So
it's a movie called The Very Odd Couple. One of them is a dolphin trying to learn
how to
speak.
Odd. Just
listen to this dolphin try and speak through his blowhole. Margaret.
She's saying that he actually did speak. So she says, I didn't talk to Peter like I talked to you. I spoke in single words only and made inflection, something that he could follow. The letter M for Margaret is very difficult. He eventually rolled over to make the noise. His blowhole and my mouth were actually trying to do the same thing. But one of the issues with trying to train an adolescent male is the horny.
Yeah.
So what Peter would do is he would like rub himself up against like her legs and feet or her knees or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she was like, look, I wasn't uncomfortable with that as long as it wasn't too rough. And then a vet came in and was like, huh, your legs are covered in bruises.
Oh, no.
In bruises?
Yeah. And the vet described.
What's the vet doing looking at her?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not his domain.
Yeah.
That vet is an animal doctor only. Stay away from human legs.
Human is the most dangerous animal, though. Mm. But, I mean, it was so noticeable that the vet noticed from where Peter had been, quote unquote, pushing like an obsessed suitor. So initially Margaret was like, okay, go off with the girl dolphins. I'll put you in a way, put you there for a day. You'll have a great time.
But he didn't know how to do it with the girl dolphins?
I just don't think it took, because eventually she was like, look, the best way to not impede our lessons is I'll just do it. So she would start wanking off the dolphin manually.
Yeah.
To quote her, it was just easier to incorporate that and let it happen. It was very precious. It was very gentle.
Peter was precious?
Peter knew I was right there. Peter was right there. Again, it was sexual on his part, not sexual on mine. Sensuous, perhaps.
Sensuous, perhaps.
Ethically, like, just from an educational perspective, this is problematic.
Nowadays
we have mandatory reporting and this sort of stuff would never fly.
To continue quoting her, it would just become part of what was going on. Like an itch. Just get rid of that, scratch it, and we'll be done and move on. And that's really all it was. I was there to get to know Peter. That was part of Peter.
That's true. Peter's Peter.
Peter's Peter.
Mm.
Okay. Well, sounds like one of the first words we need to teach dolphins is no.
Well, from other things that I've heard, eventually he knew that she'd jerk him off.
Probably after the second time, I reckon.
Yeah.
So he was just like, okay, it's time for this now. Like, it really didn't – it went exactly how you would imagine it would go.
Yeah,
instead of being like, oh, he's not able to concentrate, I'll just fix this.
Mm.
She taught him how to ask for something that he needed.
It makes it sound like, you know, how you go to a national park and there's all those signs that are like, do not feed the kangaroos and stuff. There should also be a sign that's like, don't whack off any of the paddy melons. They'll come dependent upon it, okay?
They'll get a taste for it.
Yeah.
What happened to Margaret and Peter? Did Peter get put down or something?
Well, after the experiment ended up sort of disbanding and everything, people were like, hey, it was weird that you were jerking that dolphin off.
Mm.
And it turns out that there were rumors going around that for the person running the whole experiment, his name was Lily, last name, and they were like, you've been giving these dolphins LSD. And he's like, meh. And
wait, then, what?
Yeah, they've been giving the dolphins LSD. And Margaret's like, Peter never got any LSD. Peter was different. Not Peter. Yeah. Peter would never. Peter would never. No LSD.
How do you administer LSD to a dolphin? Through the blowhole or the mouth?
Injection.
Injection?
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, you need just
under the tongue, let it dissolve.
Mm.
But then they cut off funding for the experiment. Peter got moved to a smaller tank in Miami, and then Margaret got a call from John Lilly, the person who ran the experiment, saying Peter killed himself.
Fuck!
The dolphin committed suicide, and I've not been able to find out how he committed suicide.
Jesus Christ, that's dark. Wow. My God.
I'm really, really sad.
That is so sad. Oh. Fuck. Well...
He's been put in a cage, has been given all the LSD and masturbating he could want.
Yeah, he was living large.
Handy's an acid.
Handy's an acid on demand.
Living in a house.
Yeah.
Then he gets moved to a little tank.
Yeah.
The only happy ending he didn't have was the one to his own life.
Well, on that note, I've been Hayden.
Andy,
thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Doing the Think Tank is your incredible podcast where you come up with 5 sketch ideas per episode.
That's right.
Very
sometimes
silly.
More. Yes, with Alistair Trombley Birchall.
Yes.
Who's on this show.
Yeah, I think he might be on an episode maybe after this one. I don't know. We'll see. Also, you got a book out, Gustave and Henry.
That's right. I got a couple of books, children's books. It'll be good. People who are still listening who love children's stuff. Gustave and Henry, it's adventure books for young readers.
Lovely.
3 stories in a book. Yeah, they're out now in all good bookshops.
Do you reckon they've got better jokes in them than the goat ones you've been reading about?
Man, they've definitely got better jokes in them than the one that I came up with about that murdering goats.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.